Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode number 17, taking place May the 23rd of 1992. Doc, how you doing this week, man? You having a good week and all, and things going swell for you?
Oh, I just can't wait to be here and talk to you about the great Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling is pretty fucking awesome, I must say.
Well, and we've got a battle royal today, and you know that the Doxter loves his battle royals. How about you? You were a participant in battle royals. You won a brass knucks title out of a battle royal, so you're probably pretty excited too.
I never thought about that until you said it, but in actuality, that brass knucks trophy that I won was from a battle royal that was similar to this one with the, you know, timed, it's, you know, had the Royal Rumble stipulations, I'll call it, where every 2 minutes a new participant came in. Although they had 18 people in this one, there was only 12 in the one that I was in. So whatever. I hated battle royals. Battle royals really, really sucked.
Do you like watching them?
I do like watching the Royal Rumble because first off, they always bring back some surprises and some old school people. Like this year, they had the surprise was AJ Styles coming in. But I remember the year before Bubba Ray Dudley had re-signed with the WWE, they bought in Bubba Ray, and then DDP was in that one too. So I do like the Royal Rumble from the WWE because they bring in some surprises. But in general, just a battle royal where you put 20 guys in a ring, no. But if it's a battle royal where it's Royal Rumble style, I don't mind it at all. It's kind of cool. It's not bad. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. In a smaller promotion than Smoky Mountain, or even Smoky Mountain, let's say, what is the motivation, what is the reason, what is the rationale for the promotion to say, let's have a battle royal tonight? Why are they doing that?
Well, you're talking about not Smoky Mountain or just in general? I mean, it's just, well, there's any kind of stipulation you can give. Like the one you're talking about with that brass knuckles trophy, which I hadn't thought of in damn near 20 years, was the title was upheld at that point in time, so they needed to do something where they didn't have a tournament for it and they wanted to do something quick. And they had this, you know, brass knuckles lethal. They called it the lethal lottery battle royal because it was like the Royal Rumble. It was a lottery. They supposedly picked names and you come in and they would award the trophy to whoever the last man standing was.
Supposedly. You mean this wasn't on the up and up?
No, it was on the up and up, but I'm just saying and in the case of Smoky Mountain for this one, they gave away $5,000 to the winner. Supposedly. Allegedly, let's say it like that.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. So anyway, let's get into some things here. After taking a break last week from any new matches, we return to Harrogate, Tennessee in the Lincoln Memorial University Gymnasium. This episode is the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal episode, which, as you heard Doc and I discussing just now, we had a long – I need to get into some things. And, Doc, I do want you to add in a good bit here. You and I had a long discussion about how we would deal with the Volunteer Slam in next week's episode because this episode here is airing on May the 23rd, which is a day after the Volunteer Slam would have taken place. So we had some definite discussions about how we would deal with this and how we would cover the Volunteer Slam. Doc, you want to talk about just, you know, that discussion that we had and how we decided to follow the TV of it all?
Yeah, so here's what I think we're going to do. I think we're going to stay with the TV for this one and not – we found the slam in its entirety, but we're probably not, unless something changes or all you people out there's pussy gets in an uproar too much.
Stop it.
We're probably not going to review that show in its entirety because episode, I believe, 18 or 19 is a recap show of the Slam, and we feel like that is sufficient to keep the storylines rolling, to keep the ball moving. We do reserve the right because we do this. We're the owners here. We reserve the right to change our mind for future big events, and if we can find them and have access to them and watch them, we may do that. But for the Volunteer Slam here, we're going to keep it moving with the TV instead. And the TV does a fairly nice job of recapping the tournament, if I remember correctly. That's what we're going to do. So,
yeah. I mean, here's the thing about it. Like, we could do the Slam and this episode all in one, and it would be a long episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The problem is then when we would get to episode 18 next week, we'd just be recovering what we did this week. So it really doesn't make sense to do the slam because you'd have to do one or the other anyway.
You know how Doc feels about recap shows too. So if we at least if we're recapping something I haven't already seen, we'll be in a lot better mood to do this.
Well, that's my point. Let's say today we covered the Slam Man episode 17 all in one. Then when it got to 18, all we would be doing is re-talking about the things we had just covered the previous week.
We shouldn't do that.
Well, so the way they have it is because next week's episode 18 is a thorough recap of the Volunteer Slam, it just makes sense to follow the way the TV presented it chronologically as it was presented on TV in Smoky Mountain TV in 1992. So with all that said, we're going to get into episode 17, again, from May the 23rd, 1992 in Harrogate, Tennessee. So we won't give out results from this Volunteer Slam this week. Volunteer Slam results will be on next week's show. And they do a really good recap episode. Let me say that because I've watched it and I like it. I think they do a fine job of it. So let's do that. So
here's the thing. If you really need the slam, you can find it online in its entirety. And if you're really worked up about the fact that we didn't cover the slam in its entirety, you can eat a bowl of dicks.
You really like offending people, don't you?
I just speak my mind, and if you're offended, then I think you need to go look in the mirror. If you think I'm going to go to bed tonight and lose any sleep over the fact that somebody out there in listener land might have got offended, then you are wrong.
There's Doc Turner, the worst podcasting heel there is in today's podcasting land. He tries hard, folks. He really does to be a heel. And he's a sorry fucking heel. That's all I can say about that. He is a terrible heel. Terrible. As Charles Barkley says, terrible. Terrible. Dude, you need to go to like Rip Rogers' school of wrestling and learn how to be a heel. Because your heel skills are just weak. You try. Well, I guess they're not weak because you do offend people sometimes. But let's get into the episode. Whatever. We've carried on too long at this point about your bullshit.
Can we go to the ring?
So Dutch and Bob Cottle opening segment. Bob sets the table for us at the Smoky Mountain desk with Dutch and lets us know they are going to be revisiting the injury that Jackie Fulton sustained a few weeks ago to the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. We've talked about that a little bit on the show in previous weeks. Bob Cottle also tells us that the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal will be taking place with the winner taking home 5,000 big ones. Dutch says with 5,000 on the line, there's no telling what these guys will do to win. Dutch also says, I thought about entering because I've beaten 15 guys at one time before, but with 18, I'm a little over my limit, so I kindly stepped out of it. Bob Cottle gives the what the fuck ever chuckle when Dutch says this about beating 15 people but not wanting to go up against 18 because it's over his limit. Doc, any thoughts on our opening exchange that always seems to be entertaining from Bob and Dutch?
It was all right.
It was all right. I thought it was better than all right. Bob Cottle then throws us to a series of very short promos from all of the talent in Smokey, all of the talent that will be in the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal, just so that I didn't have to take notes on this very, very quick, rapid-fire amount of promos. Let's hear them right now, and then we'll react to them, Doc.
Today you're going to get to see it. The Mountain Mayhem. It's all coming down $5,000, and I can't think of a better present to hand Mr. Wright than $5,000. That way he can get that iron lung he's needing because you people don't seem to care about it, and I can't think of any better place to beat 17 other guys up. You get ready. It's going to be right here.
Mountain Mayhem right here on TV today. Big battle royal, $5,000. I need me some pocket change, brother. You're looking at the winner of the Battle Royal. I'm going to take it all home.
Today you're going to see Mountain Mayhem, 18 guys in a Battle Royal. Winner take all, $5,000. You know, when I get in that ring, lightning may strike and they all may just jump out. But regardless, when it's all over with, I hope that I'm going to leave that ring with $5,000 in my pocket because I am ready.
See, I know all you guys' strategy. You're going to try to jump me from behind. So I'm going to use a little bit of a reverse psychology. I'm going to go out here and jog 15 or 20 miles and not take a bath and get a good stink coming up. And that way you won't want to come near me. Then I'll let you idiots beat yourselves up, and then I'll just dump the last one out. That's right. I'm the Nature Boy Buddy Landell today on TV. $5,000's mine.
You know, the question everybody's asking the heavenly bodies is, why would you guys want to be in this mountain mayhem for $5,000? Well, let me tell you why. It's because all these women around here in the Smoky Mountain resting area are so fat and ugly, we have to fly our ladies in from Florida just like fresh seafood. You know, so even with the group rates, even with the frequent flyer package we have, we need the money.
You don't stand the skies we fly in ain't exactly friendly. We're the heavenly bodies, and we're ready when you are.
Today, Mountain Mayhem. 18 men entered the ring, one man left standing. I'm the biggest man in the ring, Primetime Brian Lee. And you know, in the Battle Royal, they always team up on the big man. Well, I tell you what, Dirty White Boy, if you're in there, I'm going to make sure you don't win the money. Primetime's going to come out standing tall with a pocket full of money.
Mayhem madness, brother. 18 men in the ring running every which way, and Double D be bobbing and weaving in and out of men's legs. Big old men. Well, I'm the little one of the bunch, brother, and I'll tell you right now, few of them Confederate kicks and the little firecrackers hollering, Confederate kick, Confederate kick. It may just earn old Double D $5,000.
Well, let me tell you something. Mountain Mayhem, the Dixie Dynamite and the Nitro Man, Danny Davis, may be the smallest two men in that ring. There's going to be a lot of beef around us, but let me tell you something. One thing we got you don't have, and that's speed. We've also got brains, because while you're coming after us, we're going to be ducking and diving. And let me tell you something. When you get close to us, Nitro will explode all over you.
People in the USA Today talking about Mountain Mayhem today on TV. And I can't wait, because I'm the favorite. I'm the favorite because I'm the marathon man. I can run faster than everybody, jump higher than everybody, out-wrestle everybody. And today on Smoky Mountain Wrestle, I'm going to show the world that I'm the best today on television. Today, right here on Mountain Mayhem, we're going to show you what an 18-man battle royal looks like. And for $5,000, that's a lot of money. I know you people out there know it's a lot of money. But when the world's strongest man gets in the ring with 17 other guys, something big's going to happen, and we're going to find out today in about 5 seconds what's going down. One, two.
Okay, Doc, there's a lot to react to here. So do you want to get started first, and then I'll jump in, or how you want to do this one?
Sure.
I thought
DWB was good, Dirty White Boy at the top. I think he's probably going to use that $5,000 for an iron lung for Ron Wright or something. Who knows? He's got to be one of the favorites starting out. Golden, my only notes were Jesus Christ.
It's so awesome. Like, and here's the thing. Once again, just like we said last week, when you're watching Jimmy Golden, I'm sorry, when you hear that, I need you to really go back and watch the episode and watch him react, like, watch what he's got on, because that's what made that promo. Like, the words don't tell any of the story. It's actually what he is fucking wearing. Again, the black fedora hat, the black and white shirt with the narrow tie, the big sunglasses, and he needs some pocket change, as he said. But go ahead, Doc. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's so
good. No. Then we got Horner and his lightning bolt. Lightning's going to strike, and everybody's going to jump out of the ring. Meh. Buddy was funny. He said he was going to use some reverse psychology and jog 15 or 20 miles and get a stink up. That's an interesting take.
That was good. That was really good. I'm going to get a good stank up.
I'm sure you worked with some stinky guys before in the ring, haven't you?
Oh, dear God, yeah.
To me, the superstars of this segment were the heavenly bodies. Stan talking about flying their bitches in like seafood from Florida because of all the Smoky Mountain women were fat and ugly. I thought they were the class of the field here. Primetime was pretty standard. Dixie Dynamite, yuck. Danny Davis is meh. I thought Rip Rogers was real good. He thinks he's the favorite. And then Furnace was pretty meh.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not going to sit there and bury anybody based on these promos. I mean, there were definitely some average ones. I definitely felt that. Like, you know, like to go through them real quick, I thought Dirty White Boy was a thumbs up. Jimmy Golden, thumbs up, just based on how goofy he looks with that outfit. Tim Horner, average. I mean, this was decent, but he's still got that foam lightning bolt, so, whatever, that he's doing a tomahawk chop with. Buddy Landell, thumbs up. You know, he mentions not taking a bath and getting a good stank in. I thought that was great. The Heavenly Bodies, of course, thumbs up because I came unglued as usual when Wallace Stanfield Lane said they would have to fly some women in from Florida like they do with seafood because the women in Smoky Mountain just aren't good. Doc, I got a question before I keep going. Are you over Wallace Stanfield Lane's beaver pelt yet? On his head.
It's a fucking mess.
It's awesome too, though. I kind of laugh at it. It's kind of great in that way. And then we go on to the primetime Brian Lee. Average thoughts. Dixie Dynamite, I'm average. Nitro Danny Davis, I thought he had a lot of emotion, and I like that. Rip Rogers, I just got to say something. As you watch this, and you hear it, but when you watch it, he's channeling his inner broken Matt Hardy with his blonde hair. You can't tell me that, like, when you saw his hairdo just flipping and flopping everywhere, that he doesn't remind you of what we see from broken Matt Hardy now. Just the look, the blonde hair.
I didn't make the connection, but okay, I'm not against you.
Okay. And then Doug Furness, average. So that was my thoughts. Let's move on to the next segment. So next segment is Bob Cottle and Dutch. And Bob Cottle tells us that Jackie Fulton has had to undergo arthroscopic surgery on his knee due to the injury sustained from the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. Cottle also tells us that Bobby Fulton has declined any other offers from other tag team partners, which we already know this. Dutch chimes in and says the Fantastics were dumb enough to ask for the match, and I don't feel sorry for stupid people. If you recall, Cornette really lathered up the fans and got under Bobby and Jackie's skin, which led to the championship match when he was talking about their mama. Bob Cottle then throws us to the match, showing us what happened 2 weeks ago. This is probably the second time that they've recapped this match and showed the finish. So, as you know by now, you know, after, you know, watching half the match, the Heavenly Bodies won the tag titles and they injured Jackie Fulton. So we are back at the desk now, and Bob and Dutch are there, and Cottle says Jackie will be out 3 to 4 weeks, which to us, as we look back at this 20 plus years later, just long enough to get back from the Japan tour, I would assume.
Well, yeah, and also I thought, didn't that seem like a relatively short amount of time for that surgery in 92? Like today, you could put that sounds more, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, but back then, man, that would end guys' seasons in sports.
Well, let me say this. I had a feeling you might go there. Here's my thought when you say that. Back then, I'm not going to sit there and say that the average person is more educated, because I beg to differ. However, you have more tools at your disposal to really look up what an injury is. So if you hear today, hey, your favorite football player or basketball player has an injury X, Y, and Z, you can immediately go to WebMD and get a general prognosis of what that injury means. Back in 92, you didn't have WebMD to look up to see what the injury sustained and the potential time limits that it would take to heal that injury. So I think that's part of it too. Back then you hear that and you're like, oh, 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, it's not like you have a doctor on speed dial or have the internet to look it up to see just what that injury is. I mean, look, you and I joke all the time about the minute that people at our jobs figure out how to use Google and YouTube on how to do something, that there's going to be a lot more people out of work, because literally today you can look up something in an instant. Most people, it's sad, a lot of people don't realize it. Well, back then, no one had that capability, whereas now at least there's that capability. So I don't know. Yeah, it seems quick and, you know, the people would question it, but it is what it is. Hey, they're coming back in 3 to 4 weeks. So, and I've watched ahead. It's on fire when they do come back. So, but anyway, any more thoughts before we move on?
Let's start this goddamn battle royal.
All right, so we get the Mountain Mayhem. It's a Mountain Mayhem battle royal. So, again, two guys will start, and every 2 minutes a new man will enter. There is no DQ, and the only way to be eliminated, key, I need you to hear this, folks, the only way to be eliminated is to be thrown over the top rope. The ring announcer tells us.
That's not true.
Well, that's why I point that out. The ring announcer says that, so just recall, and we're poking fun. Everything. It's pro wrestling. Don't take it too serious. Okay, folks? We're just going to poke some fun here, though. The ring announcer tells us there is no time limit and that the wrestlers' names were drawn out of a hat ahead of time. I think this may be the first Royal Rumble-type battle royal that I've ever seen where the competitors were actually sitting in folding chairs on the outside of the ring.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
It was really weird when you see it, because I'm like, why are they showing them all outside of the ring? And then you see it when they come back from commercial, and they're still there. I'm like, wait, what are they doing? So anyway, I don't know. I don't know what I thought about it. It seemed really weird. I've never, you know, seen a battle royal type match like that. So whatever. I mean, who knows? Like, to me, because part of the allure of battle royals, like when you do a battle royal like this too, is when the next person is announced, or not announced, but the music hits and then you know who it is. But I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what they were thinking? So anyway, you got anything before we get started into the first two participants?
No, let's hit it.
Okay, so first two participants are Rip Rogers and Dixie Dynamite. Their names were drawn first, and they get it started. Even though there are no pinfalls being counted, Dixie Dynamite does go for a sunset whip.
I hate that. I hate that so much. That just infuriates me.
What?
That is as bad as a guy in football who catches it without timeouts and doesn't run straight for the sideline. You got to know the rules. It's the attention to detail. Most of the guys in Smoky Mountain are on it to the nth degree with everything, the attention to detail and the perfect nature of this stuff, and down to their wardrobe like a golden. It's just, it's sloppy to me. I hate it.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it wasn't. I mean, I'm not going to bury it like that.
Sucks. Just sucks.
He goes for the sunset flip. Well, he does a sunset flip. There are no pinfalls being counted. Dixie Dynamite does it, and Rip Rogers he kicks out as he attempts to pin him, but there's no ref there to pin it. And I believe that Dutch and Bob Cottle even mentioned this in the commentary. Dr. Tom Pritchard is the second – I say second man, but he's the next man in the ring. Given that Pritchard is a heel, this, of course, sways things over to the heel's favor, and Dixie starts getting the boots put to him by Dr. Tom and Rip Rogers. Now, Doc, I'm going to go through these pretty quick, so just jump in if there's something you want to add. I don't want to railroad you, okay?
I got you, brah.
Okay. After Dr. Tom, we got Ben Jordan. He jumps in. This evens things out. Now it's 2-on-2 with the heels and the faces. Jumpin' Joey Maggs then comes in. He's the fourth man in the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. And not long after Jumpin' Joey Maggs comes in, Ben Jordan is the first participant eliminated. So now we have Dixie Dynamite, Rip Rogers, Dr. Tom, and Joey Maggs in the ring. Dixie rolls up Rip Rogers in the center of the ring, to which Bob Cottle says, "Why would Dixie do that?" Dutch then says he did that because he's stupid. He doesn't know the rules, and if you don't know the rules, don't get in the game. I assume you want me to stop again, Doc.
Yes. So I have decided that Dixie Dynamite is a moron. And
you're talking about one of the Armstrong kids here, man. Come on now.
Goofy or Dopey or Scratchy or whatever. That's one of the promos that gets cut on them later. In Smoky Mountain. I've decided that I'm starting to hate Dixie Dynamite as much as I hate Tim Horner.
No, you're not.
Uh-huh.
No, you're not.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's fair, because I think part of the gimmick for Dixie Dynamite is to be a little goofy. And if I'm wrong,
Said a while back, he's like a Southern Fried Shane Helms Hurricane character.
I think so at this point. I mean, to me, as I'm starting to watch his character evolve, even if it's not intended and it's just happening organically, I mean, it's coming across goofy. And, you know, because, I mean, he talks about his little firecrackers and his Confederate kick chants. And I just think it's goofy. Dude, it wouldn't surprise me if he did that on purpose to just look goofy in the Battle Royal. I don't know, but it is what it is. I mean, I don't want to, like, bury him. That would be like a person burying you for trying to play heel on a podcast. You're trying to be entertaining.
Play heel. I don't play shit, motherfucker. Do I seem like the kind of person that would play anything?
Never mind. That was too easy. I'm going to stop. So, anyway, I don't hate him. I don't hate Tim Horner. It is what it is. But I do like Dutch's commentary. He did that because he's stupid. He doesn't know the rules. And if you don't know the rules, don't get in the game.
Right.
Can I move on?
Sure.
All right. Next participant is Wallace Stanfield Lane, and at Fake Stan Lane, if you're wondering why I keep saying that, is because you corrected me, so I want to make sure I get his name right. Wallace Stanfield Lane is the next participant in the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal, and at about the 2016 mark of the episode, Bobby Fulton does a run-in out of nowhere with what appears to be a small wooden 2x4 or board that he cracks Stan Lane and Dr. Tom with. Now,
well, you can't be a small 2x4.
Well, that's true, too. Well, it's a wooden board, then. Let's call it that. So Stan Lane and Dr. Tom powder out of the ring and run away, I assume, to the back as Bobby chases them. I noticed right away, I don't know if you saw this, so I'll ask, but I noticed right away referee Mark Curtis started counting.
Immediately.
Did you notice it?
Yes.
I noticed right away, like, as they were running, I'm like, what? Wait, Mark Curtis is counting. What's going on?
So I kept waiting for them. Well, the first thing I thought was they didn't go over the top. They'll come back later and cause problems, and then they just get eliminated.
I didn't think that, but I did notice that, you know, right away he's counting, and I figured out he was counting them out. So, and immediately, you know, the 10 count happens. Mark Curtis tells the ring announcer to make the announcement that the Heavenly Bodies are eliminated. Dutch doesn't like this and says, why are they eliminated? Bob Cottle tries to make sense of this and says they were eliminated because they left the ring and didn't come back. Dutch says, Bobby Fulton needs to be fine. Doc, so you did notice this as it played out, and obviously this was not in the rules, but I guess it's pro wrestling, so we can wing it on a fly, which I'm fine with. But anything else you want to add to this?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't think that there was as much heat from the crowd on this as I would have expected, because Fulton hit the ring like a house of fire pissed, and they powdered, and I just thought that would have gotten a lot bigger reaction from the fans. I just wonder how deep into the night this was from a long taping and if the crowd was a little tired. I don't know.
I don't know, but, you know, think about it. Well, I don't want to spoil things for next episode, but, yeah, that could have been it. Because, I mean, keep in mind, the Heavenly Bodies had won the tag titles earlier, so now they're making another appearance. I don't know. That's a good question. That could have been it. And two, it was a small crowd. I mean, I know you say that, you make some statements, well, all the crowds are small. Well, hey, we get into some episodes where these high school gyms are fucking packed. They're packed to capacity. So, and this place isn't packed to capacity at this point. So it's kind of small. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it at this point. But it is very strange. Fulton, you know, does this, and they are eliminated, which wasn't in the rules, but it's whatever. It's Smoky Mountain. It's a little cheesy at times, but what the fuck ever. I'm still entertained, and that's why we're going through the journey. Next participant, with that said, is the Dirty White Boy. And to do a quick reset, it is the Dirty White Boy in the ring at this point. Joey Maggs, Dixie, and Rip Rogers are in the ring because we've had some eliminations with the Heavenly Bodies going out recently. So at this point, we've only got, what's that, five people in the ring. Next to enter, nothing really happens once Dirty White Boy comes in, but next participant in is the Rock and Roll Robert Gibson, and he immediately goes after the Dirty White Boy, and he is throwing some great looking punches, and the Dirty White Boy is selling the fuck out of him. Was he not, Doc? Didn't that look great? Like,
yeah.
Not only is Gibson throwing great punches, but Dirty White Boy is selling the hell out of him. I mean, just really, really good TV, and you gotta give Dirty White Boy a lot of credit on that. So,
yep.
I don't know. You want to add anything more?
No, I agree with you on that one. I had that note as well.
Yeah, it really, really was good stuff. Next participant, Nature Boy Buddy Landell is the next name drawn. And this evens things out with three baby faces and three heels. But not long after Buddy Landell comes in, Mags is eliminated and Dixie Dynamite is eliminated too. So remember, Dixie was one of the first two participants, so finally one of the first participants is now out. This leaves Gibson in the ring with Rip Rogers, Buddy Landell, and Dirty White Boy, and they are putting it to Rock and Roll Robert Gibson. Primetime Brian Lee is the next name drawn. He comes in, and he tries to help out Gibson. He does so by eliminating Rip Rogers. Doc, you need me to stop or keep going?
Keep going.
All right. Jimmy Golden now comes in next, and he immediately goes after Robert Gibson. Let me stop here for a minute and tell me if I've missed anything or anything you want to add, because I know I'm going through it quick.
I just had a question here. Does Golden have a pony, like a little bitty baby ponytail in this?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Remember back when a ponytail was like a heel move? It was like the heels had little ponytails back there where they put their hair back there?
Yeah, kind of do.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Joe Kazana is next into the battle royal. At this point, it's 4-on-2, four heels and two faces, with the only two faces being Gibson and PBL, Primetime Brian Lee, that is. Doug Furness then comes in as next, and he slightly starts to turn the tables as it's now 3-4 with three faces and four heels. Then we have Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff making his entrance into it, and he's next. He goes right after Primetime Brian Lee and starts and proceeds to start stomping a mud hole into Primetime Brian Lee. Bob Cottle even says Mr. Wonderful says he's going to use a pile driver this match. Doc, I would assume if he does so, there's no fine since there's no rules.
Anything goes, brah.
I mean, legitimate question, because, I mean, I know the pile driver is banned, but they did say there's no rules. So, hey, who knows? Who knows what we have here?
I thought it was funny when Dutch says Primetime Brian Lee should be flattered that Paul Orndorff would spend that much time beating him up.
That was a good line. That was a good line. White Lightning Tim Horner is next in, and he comes in on fire, and it is it.
He does. He had some fire, brother.
He did. Look, again.
I don't know if you know this about him, but he's shameless.
Shameless, yeah. Tim Horner, again, we poke fun at you, but you came in with fire, and we really enjoyed it, and there's some more good stuff to come from you this episode. Spoiler alert. It is at this point that Golden is eliminated by Tim Horner, and right after Robert Gibson is eliminated by Paul Orndorff. So just a reminder, there are still two more people left to come in, which next is Barry Horowitz. It's uneventful. Nothing much happens when Horowitz is in there. Then we get Nitro Danny Davis, who is the last person in. And almost as soon as he comes in, Doug Furness and the Dirty White Boy are eliminated by Buddy Landell. And then
hold on 1 second.
Okay.
As there's a lot going on here, but one of the things I notice, and he said it in his promo that he's the biggest guy there, Primetime Brian Lee. So in theory, he's the Andre the Giant of the Battle Royal. Now, granted, he's not as big, but he's the biggest guy in there. When you watch him for the several minutes prior to where we are now, he doesn't dominate the ring like the biggest guy should, in my opinion. He's not out there wrestling like the big guy. He's not out there owning shit. It just, I don't know. He's wrestling smaller than he really is to me.
Doc, you can't compare him to Andre, who was over 7 feet tall either. I mean, that's kind of not a fair comparison.
I'm just saying that it would be that he would be out there physically imposing himself upon folks.
Well, I mean, he's 6'6". I don't know how much physically imposing.
He said he was 6'8".
Well, I'm telling you, he's 6'6", I believe, and whatever. Yeah, I didn't see it, and maybe that's, yeah. Meh. All right. Can I keep going?
Please.
Okay. All right. So where was I at? So Nitro Danny Davis is in. Doug Furness and Dirty White Boy are eliminated by Buddy Landell. And then Buddy hits Horner with something I have always loved as a kid, and that is the powder in the eyes. And boy, did Horner sell the shit out of it. I mean, Doc, come on, man. Don't shit on Horner. Didn't he sell it?
Yes. First of all, Landell, in that little exchange you were talking about, was the first heel to go after another heel because he went after Dirty White Boy. So he was the first guy to make the crossover and say, I'm going to do what it takes to win. Second of all, he tried to go to the powder once, and Horner didn't work with him. And then when he came back in, he had the powder cut and was ready to throw. Man, let me tell you something. I like Southern. I like the South. I like Southern wrestling. I like powder. I like mist. I like salt. I like ether. I like it all. All of it is second tier to a good old-fashioned fireball in the face. But all of that stuff works for me, man. I love it all. That visual of the powder flying through the air in their eyes, man, that is just awesome.
Yeah, it's great TV. I mean, it is what it is. And
it is a harbinger of things to come. The foreign substances are about to start flying in the Smoky Mountains.
Bruh, I mean, come on, dude, when it comes to foreign substances in wrestling, it doesn't get any better than that. They need to use more foreign substances. Man, the internet wrestling community has ruined pro wrestling. Use the foreign substances. Shit.
Man, think about this. One of the things that we did most that got us the most this year in 2016 was watching TNA Impact. And when Rosemary misted them for the first time, I texted you in 72-point font, missed. I came up off the couch. It's an awesome visual. It's something that's not used anymore, and it works damn near every time.
She's missed it a few motherfuckers this year in Impact.
She missed it. She missed it Vanguard 1.
She missed it the fucking drone. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it. You got to love it. But, no, okay, so, yeah, so he throws the powder in his eyes, and Horner sells the shit out of it. It's real good stuff. We love it. Now, what I'm about to go through happens very, very quick, so stay with me. There's like a rapid fire of eliminations. So Paul Orndorff then pile drives Nitro Danny Davis, and he sells the shit out of it. Horowitz is eliminated then by Primetime Brian Lee. Referee Mark Curtis on the outside of with referee Mark Curtis on the outside of the ring, Buddy Landell then goes over the top, but the ref, Mark Curtis, misses it. Mm. Buddy hops back in. The ref doesn't see it because he's on the other side of the ring. Now, on the side of the ring that referee Mark Curtis is on, Primetime Brian Lee and Orndorff are quickly eliminated. I mean, it happens instantly. Horner is the one who eliminates Orndorff. As Horner eliminates Orndorff, Buddy Landell sneaks up behind Horner and throws Horner out, leaving Buddy Landell as the winner of the $5,000 in the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. As it ends, Bob Cottle says, "There's the replay. Landell should have been eliminated." Cottle then throws us to the commercial break. Doc, thoughts on anything I've missed right there? And I got a feeling you're going to talk about Danny Davis.
No, Danny Davis did a great job selling that, but Landell was genius here. When he slid back in the ring, he didn't go straight after Horner. He laid down like he had been hit, so that it looked like he had been there for a while, instead of just sliding back in the ring. So it was a really nice, again, the nice little attention to detail that makes it look like how could he have been thrown out of the ring if he's laying down in the corner. Really awesome touch there. Also, did you notice that when they handed Landell the check, he put the damn check down his trunks?
Yeah. And Kane, I don't want to give out a spoiler alert, but that check ends up somewhere else in a later episode. I'm just going to say that. Hey, man, I mean, a guy's got to put it in a secure place, brother.
Yeah, you don't want all the ink to slide off, get wet and slide off that check. You know?
What's the odds that Buddy Landell... never mind. Poor Buddy. He's deceased.
What are the odds that that wasn't powder that he threw in his face?
You mean what's the odds that it wasn't baby powder?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think Buddy would throw that in his face, man. That would have been
You don't waste the product?
Nah. You know, we'll let Mullet of Morton in the Eye of Gibson weigh in. I don't think you waste that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's why I mentioned Danny Davis, because Danny Davis never goes over the top either. He's just pile driven and he's out of it.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
I must have missed that.
Yeah,
okay.
Go back and look at it. Danny Davis never goes out of the ring. He gets pile driven and he like lays on the mat. I don't even know if he rolls to the floor. He just lays on the mat and then eventually they pull him out. But yeah, he never goes over the top.
Okay.
And remember, here's the thing. The only way to be eliminated is to be thrown over the top. So Danny Davis never went over the top, nor did the Heavenly Bodies, technically, I guess. So,
okay.
Whatever. So here we are. So, excuse me. So they go to commercial, they come back, and it's Bob Cottle, Tim Horner, and Bullet Bob. Now, Doc, I'm going to play this because, you know, we buried Tim Horner, right? Would you say that? I don't want to say buried.
Well, you do. I've actually made a turn on him and think he's doing a pretty good job these days. So I don't know you're the one that doesn't like him.
Yeah, we've been hard on Tim Horner. So Tim, you know, I've gotten wind that you may be listening to these things at this point. So I just want to say, I'm playing this for a reason and we'll cover that after. So here it is. This is Tim Horner with Bullet Bob Armstrong and Bob Cottle after the match occurred, and it's just really some good stuff.
All right, fans, and with us right now, Commissioner Bob Armstrong, Tim Horner's over here.
Here's what's going on, Commissioner?
Young man feels like it was robbed.
Robbed? It was plain as day. Everybody here saw me eliminate Buddy Landell. Look at this. That's not right, Commissioner. I don't come out here, I don't claim to be no nature boy, and I don't claim to be some big celebrity star, but I am claiming one thing, Buddy Landell. I can kick your butt any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Now, you got $5,000 of my money. I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Well, I sympathize with you, Tim, but the referee decision is final. Now, instant replays never worked in any sport, and it certainly won't work in this sport, Tim. I'm sorry.
I've got $5,000 on this.
That's exactly right, but the referee has to have the decision. He made his decision, but I'll tell you what I will do. If Buddy Landell thinks he is King of the Mountain Mayhem, why don't we bring him back next week, make him bring that $5,000 check back, and give you a rematch with that $5,000?
Well, that's fair enough, because like I said, I can whoop you, Buddy Landell, any day of the week and twice on Sunday, and if you're man enough to come back out here and bring that check, I'm man enough to beat your butt.
Don't worry about it. He will be man enough. I'm going to put it right here, brother. I'm ordering him right now to bring that $5,000 check back and put it up against you right here, brother. You got a chance to win it one-on-one instead of a bunch of guys in the ring. It'll just be you and Nature Boy Buddy Landell. The rest is up to you, Tim. If you want that $5,000, go and get it. I'm ordering it right now.
Thank you, sir.
All right, fans, you heard it. There it was from Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
All right, Doc. I'll let you weigh in first, man. What'd you think?
I thought it was talk about awesome touches. Horner standing there with the evidence still on his face was a nice touch. I thought that was genius. Bob Armstrong saying instant replay has never worked in any sport. I beg to differ. But I may surprise you here. I mean, last week we talked about Horner cutting a really good fired up promo. I'm gonna tell you this. This was easily, in my opinion, easily the best Tim Horner we've seen so far through 17 episodes. Maybe it's time to close down the parody account on his promos, but maybe Tim Horner's making a comeback. I'm gonna say it now. I think Tim Horner's out of my doghouse, and Dixie Dynamite's in there.
It's really hard.
But every time I think I'm going to lighten up on Tim Horner, I think about that 4 minutes of him singing Garth Brooks, and it's just I don't know what to do. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you can't say that we're not fair and hold people accountable on this show. When you do good work, we're going to call that out, and when it's not the best thing we've seen, we're going to call that out as well. So I thought this was the best Tim Horner we've seen through 4 months.
Man, this was really good from Tim Horner. I don't know how anybody could bash it. I've been hard on him, but this is a really good promo. You know, Bullet Bob tells us there's no instant replay, but we'll set up a rematch for the $5,000 on next week. And, you know, he's like, I'll beat your butt every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So he mixed that into how, you know, the territories they were, you know, work 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. I just really, really liked what Tim did here. It was really good. We've been very, very hard on Horner. Very hard. I mean, it borderline disrespectful at times. Probably.
Mainly you, more than me.
And I've caught wind that Tim Horner may have listened to an episode or two. And he probably
wants to kick your butt too.
He may, but you know, I don't mean anything. It's not personal, dude. Like you said it. You said it best a while back. Hey, we got to talk about something. I mean, so we.
I'd rather watch Tim Horner sing Shameless for 4 minutes than watch Monday Night Raw. But I might just turn my TV off and watch nothing.
That's probably something. I don't know, man. I think I'd rather listen to Horner sometimes.
Now you're trying to get out of the doghouse with him. What a pussy.
Okay. All right, Doc. Let's hand out some disability checks, man.
I love battle royals. I'm a sucker for them if they're done right. I thought this one was not the best one I've ever seen, but it was a really good one. I was thoroughly entertained. I thought the promos before the beginning had some good stuff. I thought we had some interwoven angles in between, like with Fulton coming out and chasing the heavenly bodies off that furthers that angle. We've got a new angle coming out of this with Landell and Horner. All around, we're back to new content. I like that better than last week's preview review. So we're back up to the high marks. We're going to give this one a 6.8 disability checks.
6.8. I'm actually at a 7. So, I very good episode. The Tim Horner promo. I mean, dude, I should have gave it an 8 just because of Tim Horner. I really should have.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's not lose our heads here.
No, man, he did a good job. His work in the ring was good. The battle royal, he sold the powder in the eyes. He then cuts his vicious promo. I thought it was real good. You can't knock that. Which then leads us into our Government Cheese Award of the Week, which, remember, is a new segment that we do and a new award that we give out, where it's basically paying tribute to a great moment or a terrible moment in the episode from this week. I'm actually no. no surprise here. Tim Horner's getting my Government Cheese Award for the week for his excellent work in this episode.
And you really are trying to kiss. You're trying to kiss up to Tim Horner. Did you get a feeling that, like, if you try to reverse feel that he might come on the show?
No, I have not been. I have not personally talked to Tim Horner. I'd love to have him on the show, to be honest with you. However, I've not talked to him at this point. I've just heard that he may have heard an episode or two, and if he has, then that's great. So no, that is not my goal here with this.
Okay.
Now, your Government Cheese Award.
Well, for the second week in a row, I'm going to give my Government Cheese to Buddy Landale. He had a very innovative running 15 to 20 miles at the beginning on the promo.
That was awesome.
He had a nice he got eliminated and still figured out how to win a battle royal. He threw powder. He the little touch with him laying in the ring when he got back in. You know, when Buddy's on, Buddy's Buddy. So we got to take good Buddy while we got him, and this certainly was more good Buddy in my opinion. So he's the two-time defending champ of the Government Cheese from Doc Turner.
Speaking of Buddy Landale, we played a couple of weeks back. I think that's a good award for Buddy on this one. But speaking of Buddy, Buddy was our promo of the week a few weeks back, and it's going to be a while before we get to this point where Buddy goes up against Shawn Michaels for the WWF Intercontinental title in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But you got to admit, man, that was a good promo, and we'll get to more of that type of Buddy Landale. So I look forward to that in the future on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I definitely do so. All right, Doc, I got to get some plugs, man. You cool with that?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. First-time listener, subscribe to us however you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, whatever. I prefer Podcast Addict. It's a great way if you use Android. But if you're an Apple user and use iTunes, I am going to beg you right now, beg you for some 5-star reviews. We need more of them. It'd be helpful if not only you click the 5 stars, but you actually write something nice that helps us out. And then please, there's also this thing where you can click if the previous reviews were helpful. If you could go back and click yes to all those previous reviews saying they were helpful, that would be a great thing that you could do for us as well. So more 5-star reviews, we'd appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. And then on the Facebook page, we'd appreciate it if you'd go there. And it's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. I post the shows there. You know, we have a lot of interaction with our Twitter followers, but there's not much interaction on the Facebook. So we'd appreciate it if you put comments on the episodes there on the Facebook page. It would be helpful. And if you want to support the show, because, hey, we do this for free. We enjoy doing it. It's a hobby, but we have a lot of people who listen to it and enjoy it. So if you enjoy it and want to help us out, you can donate to the show at the very top of the page. There's our PayPal donation link. Top of the page. At the top of our page, which is mikemills.podbean.com.
At the top of the page.
No, I'm not going to say it like Jericho. There's a PayPal donation link. Just click it. Donate to the show, a buck or two, whatever. We'd appreciate it. And then also at mikemills.podbean.com is our pro wrestling tee store. That is where you can get your very own Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. We've got a Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast and 3 other BTT t-shirt designs. And we'd appreciate if you would buy a t-shirt or two. Hey, it's the holidays. They're raging right now. As I say that, Doc, I don't even know when this is going to air. This may air after December the 25th, but whatever. Buy yourself a t-shirt. We'd appreciate it. It's a great way to show your support for Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast and the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast that we do each and every week. Shout out to all the Twitter parody accounts like at the Eye of Gibson, at Holy Moly Oli, at Mullet of Morton. You're right, Doc. When Morton comes into the territory, that guy's going to need a week off of work. Lord, no, man. He's going to freaking lose his shit. Can you imagine all the tweets he's going to send? It's going to be insane. I'm sure the Eye of Gibson will be right there with him. And at Fake Stan Lane, you as well. At Big Dog, I think his name is on Twitter. At Marty Howell 74, I believe it is. At Armando Martinez or Manzi 805, I believe it is. I'm trying to remember all of you. You guys are all great. We really appreciate your support of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Show. Doc, anything else before I get out of here this week?
Man, let's get out of here. I'm tired. I'm just tired of dealing with these people. I'm ready to go take a nap.
Oh, whatever. I think I pretty much covered the promos from this week on the episode, but whatever we missed, I will put at the end of this episode from this week. So from Mike and Doc in our Smoky Mountain episode number 17 from May the 23rd of 1992, I was about to say book it, bitch, but then I forgot. You know what? I want to remind people. The Volunteer Slam review show and recap is next week. So if you'll have to wait till next week for that one. But for Mike and Doc, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 17 from May the 23rd of 1992. You know what we always say when we got out of here? Book it, bitch.
Hi, wrestling fans. Welcome to another action-packed, exciting hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. I'm Bob Caudle, and this week, in addition to going back and taking another look at the replay of the serious injury to Jackie Fulton at the hands of the Heavenly Bodies, we're going to be having a Battle Royal Mountain Mayhem this week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, with a winner walking away with $5,000. And right here with me, my tag partner, Dutch Mantel.
Well, $5,000 on the line, there ain't no telling what these guys will do to win it. Now, there's 18 guys in it, and I thought about getting it myself because I've whooped 15 men on my own before, but they got 18 in there, so I'm a little bit over my limit, so I just kindly stepped out of it.
All right, fans, right now, let's take a moment. Let's hear what some of the competitors in the Mountain Mayhem had to say.
Today you're going to get to see it. The Mountain Mayhem. It's all coming down, $5,000. And I can't think of a better present to hand Mr. Wright than $5,000. That way he can get that iron lung he's needing, because you people don't seem to care about it. And I can't think of any better place to beat 17 other guys up. You get ready. It's going to be right here.
Mountain Mayhem, right here on TV today, big battle royal, $5,000. I need me some pocket change, brother. You're looking at the winner of the battle royal, I'm going to take it all home.
Today you're going to see Mountain Mayhem, 18 guys in a battle royal. Winner take all, $5,000. You know, when I get in that ring, lightning may strike and they all may just jump out. But regardless, when it's all over with, I hope that I'm going to leave that ring with $5,000 in my pocket, because I am ready.
See, I know all you guys' strategy. You're going to try to jump me from behind. So I'm going to use a little bit of a reverse psychology. I'm going to go out here and jog 15 or 20 miles and not take a bath and get a good stink coming up. And that way you won't want to come near me. Then I'll let you idiots beat yourselves up, and then I'll just dump the last one out. That's right. I'm the Nature Boy Buddy Landell today on TV. $5,000's mine.
You know, the question everybody's asking the Heavenly Bodies is, why would you guys want to be in this Mountain Mayhem for $5,000? Well, let me tell you why. It's because all these women around here in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area are so fat and ugly, we have to fly our ladies in from Florida just like fresh seafood. You know, so even with the group rates, even with the frequent flyer package we have, we need the money.
You don't stand, the skies we fly in ain't exactly friendly.
We're the Heavenly Bodies, and we're ready when you are.
Today, Mountain Mayhem. 18 men enter the ring, one man left standing. I'm the biggest man in the ring, Primetime Brian Lee, and you know in the Battle Royal, they always team up on the big man. Well, I tell you what, Dirty White Boy, if you're in there, I'm going to make sure you don't win the money. Primetime's going to come out standing tall with a pocket full of money.
Mayhem madness, brother. 18 men in the ring running every which way, and Double D be bobbing and weaving in and out of men's legs. Big old men. Well, I'm the little one of the bunch, brother, and I'll tell you right now, few of them Confederate kicks and the little firecrackers hollering, Confederate kick, Confederate kick. It may just earn old Double D $5,000.
Well, let me tell you something. Mountain Mayhem, the Dixie Dynamite and the Nitro Man, Danny Davis, may be the smallest two men in that ring. There's going to be a lot of beef around us, but let me tell you something. One thing we got you don't have, and that's speed. We've also got brains, because while you're coming after us, we're going to be ducking and diving. And let me tell you something. When you get close to us, Nitro will explode all over you.
People in the USA Today talking about Mountain Mayhem today on TV. And I can't wait, because I'm the favorite. I'm the favorite because I'm the marathon man. I can run faster than everybody, jump higher than everybody, out-wrestle everybody. And today on Smoky Mountain Wrestle, I'm going to show the world that I'm the best today on television.
Today, right here on Mountain Mayhem, we're going to show you what an 18-man battle royal looks like. And for $5,000, that's a lot of money. I know you people out there know it's a lot of money. But when the world's strongest man gets in the ring with 17 other guys, something big's going to happen. And we're going to find out today in about 5 seconds what's going down. One, two.
Fans, we'll be back with the action of Mountain Mayhem and more right after this. Don't go away. All right, fans, and with us right now, Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Tim Horner's over here.
Here's what's a going young, on, Commissioner?
Young man feels like he was robbed.
Robbed? It was plain as day. Everybody here saw me eliminate Buddy Landell. Look at this. That's not right, Commissioner. I don't come out here. I don't claim to be no nature boy, and I don't claim to be some big celebrity star, but I am claiming one thing, Buddy Landell. I can kick your butt any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Now, you got $5,000 of my money. I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Well, I sympathize with you, Tim, but the referee decision is final. Now, instant replays never worked in any sport, and it certainly won't work in this sport, Tim. I'm sorry.
I've got $5,000 on this.
That's exactly right, but the referee has to have the decision. He made his decision, but I'll tell you what I will do. If Buddy Landell thinks he is King of the Mountain Mayhem, why don't we bring him back next week, make him bring that $5,000 check back, and give you a rematch with that $5,000.
Well, that's fair enough, because like I said, I can whoop you, Buddy Landell, any day of the week and twice on Sunday. And if you're man enough to come back out here and bring that check, I'm man enough to beat your butt.
Don't worry about it. He will be man enough. I'm going to put it right here, brother. I'm ordering him right now to bring that $5,000 check back and put it up against you right here, brother. You got a chance to win it one-on-one instead of a bunch of guys in the ring. It'll just be you and Nature Boy Buddy Landell. The rest is up to you, Tim. If you want that $5,000, go and get it. I'm ordering it right now.
Thank you, sir.
All right, fans, you heard it. There it was from Commissioner Bob Armstrong and White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, he really did, and you saw it. I'm sure as we went back in that slow motion, you saw Buddy Landell go over the top rope, out of the ring, very quickly roll back in under the bottom rope without the referee seeing. Not only that, then he got that powder into the eyes of Tim Horner. There is no doubt that Tim Horner feels like, and I think justly so, that he should be the recipient of the $5,000. That return match for the $5,000 right here next week, along with some highlights of the Volunteer Slam. And until then, fans, so long for now.